Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi friends, and welcome to episode 46 of From Long Distance to Marriage. The podcast is getting old. 46 episodes. Well over the hill. Anyways, this week
we're... It's about a year.
Almost.
I think we're around about our anniversary.
No, the Instagram...
Podcast.
The Instagram started at first, so that's over a year now. But the podcast... I don't remember exactly what date it launched, but yeah, we're closing in.
Let's find out.
You're going to have a little look-see.
Keep people talking.
Me keep people talking, or me just keep talking myself.
Keep people listening.
Anyways, it's a beautiful sunny day here in the southeast of England for once. We're having some lovely late summer... cruising into autumn weather, which if you've read our blog, looked at our Instagram, or listened to even one episode of our podcast, you know that I am, an autumnphile? Would we call it that? Or just autumn obsessed? I love autumn. I come to life. Excited to go back to the pumpkin patch.
30th of September.
30th of September.
Episode one.
So we are closing in on a year. We're almost there. So just a few little updates from us. We had a really nice message from a guy who's been following the podcast, gosh, I think, almost right from the beginning. Kept in regular touch, keeps us updated on his long distance relationship, which we really like to hear. You know, people that get in touch and ask us a question, how do I handle this, or what do you think? And then we love getting regular updates to see how things have gone. And we got a really lovely picture. He finally met his long distance love, and gave us an update on how things are going. And yeah, we just love hearing that. It was a really nice update and really sweet comment when we said, you know, thank you so much for thinking of us and sharing this. And kind of said, oh, you know, you guys have been such a big help, which is really what it's all about.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah, and it's nice to see people looking so happy.
If we have helped you, then let us know. And on that note, I mean, we've had people lately tell us they found us through Apple Podcasts. So if you have enjoyed us at all, we'd really appreciate if you could leave us a review over there, so that the more reviews we have, the better the reviews are, the more Apple will kind of show us to people searching. So that'll be a really big help. The other thing to mention is some of you will know we've been working on a really exciting new piece of content, which we've called, we call it The Ultimate Guide to Long Distance Relationships. And it really, and we put a lot of time into this, and it covers everything from why you'd want to be in a long distance relationship, which is really, actually, no one does, but you just kind of have to be, and dealing with, you know, the friends and family who aren't supportive and may even go as far as calling you stupid and you guys falling out over it. You know, we cover everything from that to making that long distance work and
keeping it romantic,
date ideas, keeping it romantic, keeping the mystery, how to handle things like nudes and watching movies together and visits. And then we go right through to preparing to close the distance, so your visas and what you can expect with things like, you know, you get caught up in all the excitement of moving that you may not stop to realize you're opening up all that distance with your friends and family and everything you've ever known. And then it goes through to closing the distance and making a life together and in person, which is a very, very different dynamic. You've spent all this time apart and, you know, sort of communicating through technology and seeing each other in small bursts to living together. It's a very, very different step change. So this thing we've put together just is everything we could think of. So it's pretty nearly ready to come out. So if you want to get your hands on it, if you come to our website, longdistancetomarriage.com, there's on the sidebar, you can enter your email address. Do that. As soon as it's ready, you'll be the first to know and get your hands on it.
You will. Exclusive content. Well, not really.
It's not exclusive, really. But we do think it's worthwhile. We've had some beta readers of it, the feedback's been really positive. Thank you to everyone who's volunteered to read it and give their feedback, with a couple of small changes to make to it off of that, but the feedback's been really good. So we hope everyone will enjoy it and find it useful. Should we go on to the episode?
Let's do it. So this week we wanted to talk about something that I think applies to all kinds of relationships, whether you're long distance, married, been together a long time. Maybe it doesn't apply so much in newer kind of
relationships. No, it does, because I think it's something, if you're in a newer kind of relationship, this is good practice to...
Oh, yeah, I know, but it may not be something you're suffering with yet, unless it's like, who's paid for what?
Yeah, but prevention is better than cure. So if you're not suffering from it yet,
be proactive.
Don't suffer with it.
But first, let's tell people what the hell we're talking about. And that is keeping score in your relationship, or being tit for tat is another thing that we kind of say. And this is a really... it's a really hard one, because I think... I don't know about... I think, like, older generations... in terms of, like, money at least, don't seem to be, like, they keep score. I think they were better at, like, early on, pooling all their money. And also, you know, older, further generations go back, you know, women traditionally didn't work. So everything was kind of ours. Where I think, from a money perspective on this, and we're not only talking about keeping score with finances in this episode, that's just one kind of strand of the topic. But I think younger generations, you know, people are getting, for example, getting together later, getting married later, when both of you have a bit of a career, probably. Women are working, obviously, loads now. And you kind of come together and it's like, this is mine and this is yours. And then there's some kind of, you know, squabbles over that. And it was really funny because we were talking about this episode a couple weeks ago when we started, you know, thinking about our topics for the next few weeks. And we were on the way to the movies talking about this. And I had your birthday, Rich's birthday was just a couple days ago. And I had kind of arranged some, you know, a meal and an outing and a present. So if you've listened to our personal or money management for couples episode, you know that we do all of our bills joint together. We have some of our own independent expenses that, like, don't affect each other. And then we have, like, our fun money that is ours. It doesn't, we don't worry about what each other does with it. But that's where the money for, like, birthday presents and things like that come from. So that pool for my month was pretty depleted. And Rich hadn't been paid yet. And obviously he just had my birthday a few weeks before. So we're in the car like, oh yeah, that'd be a great episode. We can talk about this and that and not keeping score, da da da. And then we get to the movies. I'd bought the tickets. And I was like, are you getting the snacks and the drink? And he's like, well, no, I told you. And I'm like,
I didn't even have my wallet.
And, but it's just, it was so funny. We're in the car, oh yeah, I think we can really help people with that. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, why aren't you paying for anything? Like, it's an easy one to get sucked into. Especially the money side of
but
it.
But equally, we weren't keeping score. That was just, it would have been easier on you financially if you weren't paying for both.
Yeah.
I just didn't have any money. But what we're really talking about is, and this isn't just money. I know you've gone down that track, but it's not just money. This is, I did that, so you kind of owe me
something. Yeah.
And I think, you see this all the time, like, I think we've spoken before that a lot of the stuff around the house is kind of already divided up between something I would do and you would do. So, you know, I do the bins and you tend to cook and things. So it's not a case of, and when it comes to feeding the dogs, I do it in the morning, you do it in the evening.
And when there's a cleaning, we share.
So it's not a case of, it's your turn to feed the dogs because I did it this morning. And, well, I took the bin out, so you have to vacuum the floor. But that's how a lot of couples operate. And it's funny how often I hear this. And it's like, and the bitterness can really kind of go both ways with, oh, can you believe I did this and then he or she wouldn't even do this? Like it's not an obligation. You shouldn't be doing that gesture because it kind of becomes almost manipulative. Like, well, I did that and I expected this
therefore
in return.
Therefore, I'm owed.
Yeah, you're not owed. Like, no, it's a relationship. Like, everyone needs to pull their weight and all that kind of thing, but you're not owed. And you're certainly not owed the thing that you just don't want to do. Like, I did the dishes, so you should take the bin out because I don't want to take the bin out. Well, maybe actually they're going to repay that gesture by doing something else. Like, they don't have to do the bin.
It's a really interesting point you made a few sentences ago about the manipulation. I think people so often don't realize when they're being manipulative in their relationship, and mostly it's because we don't mean to be. Very few people are like premeditated, I'm going to do this, so therefore I get this out of it. Most people don't do that. People end up doing something manipulative because they're trying to get what they feel they deserve, or they, you know, they're just trying to get what they feel they're quote-unquote owed in the relationship, or what they think is fair. Like you said, like, well, you know, if I do this and that's really nice and thoughtful, then they should do something nice back to me. And it's not
But the minute you do that, the minute you say, I want to do this nice thing, and then they'll do that, it's no longer a nice thing. Because a nice thing is done without the expectation.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, just be very careful of it. But, yeah, I mean, the way we do it, though, is we'll say, would you mind doing that while I do this? Or I'm a kind of short of time, I did that, would you do? And it's done as a, like we've said before in the gratitude episode, that we still say thank you to each other and we appreciate that, yeah, we both live in the house and it's both of our responsibilities to take care of different aspects of it. But doesn't mean you have to do that one particular thing. Like, I don't have to take the bin out because you're too weak to pick up the bag. You just don't like doing it. And we've kind of come to an arrangement that, okay, I can take that on. But was I don't that, owe you taking that out.
Was that in Ramit's, that episode we listened to where Ramit was on Tim Ferriss? Where they're talking about like the jobs that they have in the house. Like,
maybe.
And one of the things is you kind of try and do things that like, if you don't really mind it and your partner hates it, like do it.
Yeah, do it. But what we don't do is, and certainly it's never unspoken. It'd be like, right, we need to tidy the house today. I'm going to do the bathroom. Can you do the kitchen? We kind of agree up front. We don't spend hours doing something and then come in and say, I've done all that. You have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if ever we've kind of even veered close to that conversation, it ends badly because it's, well, no, that's not how this works. So,
yeah, I mean, like yesterday was a great example. We were both going to be out doing different things in the afternoon. I went to see Downton Abbey by myself because like I don't have anyone that watches it, and it was just a brilliant experience. Rich had some freelance stuff to do. I just wanted to name drop Downton Abbey for anyone else who appreciates it. And you know, I was busy in the morning. I had to work out yesterday morning. Rich didn't, and I said, look, I'm going to be working out. Then I need to jump in the shower because you know we've got stuff we need to do today. I'd really appreciate it if you could unload the dishwasher, load it up, and then just take the trash out. Is that okay? And you're like, yep, that's fine, not a problem. And when you did it, I was like, I made a point. Like, I was upstairs in the shower when you came in from doing the trash. And I was like, hey, babe. And you're like, what? And I was like, thanks. Like,
yeah.
And, yeah, and anyways, but we're not really just talking about.
But I hear, so one of the things, one of the conversations I've heard, I'm going to be very vague about this, but one of the conversations I had recently was a couple that don't live together. They went away together and they split the cost of the trip. So, you know, paid for their own flights and accommodation, or their own cost of the accommodation, you know. But then when they're on the vacation or their holiday, it was, I'll get this, I'll get that, and I'll get this for us and things. And then on the return, I guess one of them's realised maybe they spent a bit more money than
the person who was offering to pay for everything.
Yeah. No, they didn't pay for everything. No, they paid for their own things, but there were times when that person would pick up the tab and say, I'll get that. But when they got home, I guess some stress has set in and it's, we need to see what money, need to see what you owe, and kind of things. I think, well, then, you know, that's, like I said, I've been vague about this and I don't want to be talking specifics about, you know, any one person's relationship, but as a principal conversation, it's an interesting one because once you're out of the moment, if you've gone through that holiday saying, I'll get this and I'll get that, unless you've made it very clear that, look, we'll just both put it on whichever card and then when we get home, we'll divvy it up.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that conversation's taken place, you kind of lose the right 2 weeks later on to say, okay, now let's see what you owe me. Unless you can say, you know, I kind of made a mistake here. I thought I had more disposable money than I did. But you have to handle it in a certain way. But what you can't do is say, okay, now let's see what you owe me because I bought that. Unless you have to be clear up front and say, we've both got credit cards, we'll put everything we buy on there and not worry about it while we're away. We'll just enjoy the moment. We'll get home, we'll sit down and we'll say that was yours, that was mine. You can have that because there's nothing wrong with that conversation. But everyone has to be on the same page going into that. Otherwise, it's just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's the other person supposed to be managing their finances if they think, okay, I've got £1,000 to spend on this trip. I spent £980. It's been really helpful that they've picked up some of these other bits. You know, they're doing everything right, and in their mind, they've stuck to their budget. The other person's been very helpful with picking things up. It's allowed both of them to enjoy the trip. You get home, suddenly you owe an extra £500 that you weren't expecting. That's not fair. And I kind of think, look, if you made that mistake, then you take it on the chin. You made that mistake. You suffer the consequences of it. But it happens with all sorts of different things. And I don't know what you hear, but I hear about people at home, even going out. Like, well, you went out, it's my turn to see my friends. You know, I did this around the house, it's your turn to do it around the house. It's your turn to do the dishwasher because I did it yesterday. And it's like, there are no turns. You know, there's certainly no turns that you demand it's the other person's turn. If you come to the agreement that we'd all take the dishwasher, then fine, it's your turn. Mm-hmm. But if you say, I'm sick of doing it, it's your turn, and they've never been informed of this arrangement that you've just suddenly come up with because you no longer want to do it.
But there's phrasing you can do. But you know what? I do the dishwasher every day. I'm a bit sick of it. Would you mind doing it for a couple of days?
Exactly. Like,
that's fair. You're expressing, look, I take this on. There's no real assigned role here. I've kind of got stuck with it, which happens. You know, I'd like a break from it. I'm a bit sick of it. Would you mind? Like, that happens with me with dinner a lot. Typically, if I say, do you know what? I really don't feel like cooking tonight. Will you be in charge? It's either, okay, well, let's get pizza or let's get fish and chips. But still,
it takes it off of you.
It takes it off of me. And you're like, well, I'm, you know, you're fine at cooking. You just, you're out of practice, I think.
I think the bigger issue here is if you're keeping score, you're having these issues, then what it kind of indicates is you've not had the conversation about how you're going to run things. So like you've mentioned a few times that it's kind of like a business when you're in a relationship. It doesn't sound glamorous, but it's the way it is. Everything runs better if you know what your role is. Like, if you imagine if you went into work and said, all right, guys, who's doing what today? Like, oh, I'm going to be in charge of the phones today, and I'm going to be... It doesn't work that way. You have a job title, you go to work, you know the parameters of your role. You may not know specific tasks, but you know what you do at work. If you view your relationship in the same way, like, okay, around the house, I'm in charge of this. If the bin's overflowing, that's my responsibility. Because I know we've had it in the past where you'll see something that's not to your liking, not, you know, either one of us, maybe the bins are flying, and you think, well, why the fuck haven't they taken care of that? When you know that's on you, it gets rid of all the animosity, because you know it's not going to occur to my partner to do that because it's my job. And when you're in charge of something and it's in your control, it feels very good because it's, oh, I can fix that now.
Yeah. And it's good to have a conversation about it. And also, like I mentioned briefly before, I think it was an episode of the Tim Ferriss podcast where Ramit Sethi, I think it's how you say it, was on. And they were talking about relationships, and it's, I hate this job. I cannot stand doing the dishes, but I don't mind taking the trash out. Okay, well then I'll do, you know. But like someone I work with, it's kind of like anything outside of the house is his job, and anything inside is hers. And that doesn't just extend to like yard work. And then she's got to do the washing and the cooking. It's like anything that takes place outside the house. So he does the food shopping while she stays at home on a Saturday morning and cleans the house. And then he brings it in and they put it away together. And then, yeah, he takes the trash out because that requires going outside of the house. Like, if that's how you want to balance it, that's great. But I think just talk about how you want to do it.
Yeah. But whatever you do, you can't keep the score. Because I just don't... There's no positive that's going to come from that. You're basically building up a bank of ammunition that you can eventually unload and say, I've done all this for you. You're not grateful enough. And I think a lot of relationships suffer from this to some degree of you're not grateful enough for what I've done. If it's never been made clear to them, I mean, because maybe you married someone that does all that stuff because they love doing all that stuff. They like taking care of you and they see that that's their role. And, you know, a lot of people kind of feel that's their purpose. If they then turn around and you can go a long time in that dynamic and both people think this is great, but then one day they turn around and say, things have to change. You've not been grateful enough for all these things I've done for you. It's a bit of a what the fuck moment. Because you're blindsiding them with, yeah, there should always be the gratitude, don't get me wrong, but you can't just suddenly blindside them by saying, all that stuff I've done for you, I've been doing so that you will want to do this for me.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant just like in general, but actually this is quite a lot. Because that happened, like, with us, when we first got together, I was working part-time, and I really loved relishing in, like, the homemaking role. But you also worked from home, so, you know, I worked part-time, but then you'd still do stuff. Yeah, it made sense for me
to do stuff around the
house. Yeah, but I still did all the washing and the cooking, and I was very much missing home. Hold on, let me finish, please. And, but then when you started working, I was working full-time, you started working full-time, so I was ironing your clothes, I was making your lunch. Which I offered to do, because I was really excited for you to go to work, and I wanted to make it, you know, because you'd never really, well, you had before, but it had been a long time since you'd worked like in an office setting and had to get up at like a decent time, so I wanted to make it easy for you. And then after several months, I was like, actually, you know, I've got to get myself ready in the morning, like, this is a lot for me.
I thought I offered to take it off you, because I started to feel guilty. I said, I'm going to start ironing my shirt.
Maybe that.
And then eventually...
You started doing other stuff too. But it was just my genuine desire to spoil you, and then actually realizing, oh, hold on, I've taken a bit too many morning responsibilities on, because not only am I doing this for you, I've got to do it all for myself.
Yeah, and I suppose my choice at that moment was to say, no, you've set this up now. This is how this it's going to be. This isn't fair. But I didn't do that. But
you're like, yep, fair.
What I was going to say was, this is something that, you know, generally relationships take quite a long time to find their groove on this. And I think if people are listening to this as a new, going into a new relationship or a single and going to be going on a new relationship at some point, this is like a real hack, I think, for making life for both of you easier. If you go in at the beginning and say, okay, who's going to do what? And are we going to have the flexibility to make changes if we want to? You have that conversation up front or in the early days, you're saving months, maybe years of issues. And so I think, this is a real shortcut where you're going to cut out a lot of the problems that many relationships, including ours, go through to find your footing. If you can get up front and say, I despise taking out the rubbish. I despise cooking. I quite like making the bed. You find out who, and if there's something you're both hate doing,
then maybe you, trade.
You either turns. Trade or you say, well, I hate it less than you hate it, so I'll do it and you can do this other thing, or we alternate it.
Or if you have money, you pay someone else to do it, like if it's yard work or the house cleaning.
Yeah, when we can afford it, we have a cleaner because we fucking hate cleaning.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have the conversation. What you can't do is expect to not have the conversation and think, it'll just figure itself out, because it won't. And especially with things that you don't like doing, because all that will happen is you'll both avoid it as long as possible. Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons? I'm going way back, like years and years and years.
I probably don't remember it then.
But there's an episode of The Simpsons where the family had this issue of, like, they didn't want to take the trash out. So it kept piling up and piling up to the point where they're, like, stapling things on top of the pile to stop it falling down because no one wanted to take it out. And that's what you're going to get to. You're going to get to the point where no one wants to do that thing and you kind of hope, oh, if it gets bad enough, they'll do it. I won't mention it. We'll just see that do it. No one's going to, you know, you have to have the conversation and you have to say, this is our arrangement, and then everyone knows where they stand.
Yeah. But I think, so we've talked about this a lot from, like, money. We've talked about it from, like, household things. There's also the emotional side of it, keeping score, which I think is what really plays, and some money to an extent, into long distance, because it's really easy to keep score, like, oh, you haven't come to visit me in a long time. I keep having to make the trip to you. Or it could be when you come here, you only stay a week. When I go there, I stay 2 weeks. You know, it's not only unique to, you know, people that are in, like, living together, paying for the same stuff relationships.
No, it's human nature that we
compare.
We're protective and we feel like, I don't want to feel like I'm being hard done by. I'm giving more than
or
I'm
being
receiving.
Taken advantage of and stuff. Yeah. So I think, you know, I want to talk about the long distance portion and also kind of the emotional keeping score. But yeah, long distance, I think it's really hard because typically you have the travel aspect and the time aspect. So that might be that it's really expensive. If you only live maybe 2 hours, you know, drive from each other, that's probably maybe not such a big deal. Maybe it is. It depends on the situation. But you can probably see each other every other weekend. It's a 2-hour drive or train ride, whatever, it's fine. But if you're living on opposite ends of the country or in, you know, places where a long flight is necessary, you know, it's going to be another challenge and an area where you can find yourself kind of keeping score. But you have to take the other person's situation into consideration. Like for us, you know, I came to meet Rich first because he was starting up a business. He was working freelance. I had a regular paying teaching job and I had time off in the summer. And, you know, for us, it made sense that I fly here to come see him. And then the next visit, which was the following Christmas, so like 5-6 months later, you know, I had some pressure from my family, kind of like, well, he should come see you. And I think they were looking at it from a, not necessarily keeping score, but fair is fair, take turns, it's his turn, which I did feel, but you also had some ill, you had an ill grandparent, you weren't sure if it was going to be their last Christmas, so, you know, and it was my decision to come back also because I just wanted to see him again. I was just like, I don't care, I need to see you. So I booked my ticket and I'm coming to you for Christmas. And then it was, well, then I'm coming back. You know.
But the point is it's very contextual.
It depends on your situation. And it's as long as you're happy with it.
Yeah, well, you can be happy and not realise you're being taken advantage of. So it's beyond that. But it's realising, are they not coming here because they're not willing to make the effort? Or are they not coming here because, if one of you's working and one of you's not, and one of you's not got any money, then it's kind of obvious who's going to have to make the trip there.
Or who's going to pay for the other person
to visit. Yeah. So it depends on the dynamic there, but there's this expectation a lot of time that people say, oh, it has to be 50-50, and that's not true. There are times in a relationship where one of you gives a considerable amount more. So 50-50 would be, I visited you last time, it's your turn now. I did this last time, it's your turn now. And I don't think that's true at all. And we've spoken before about how when I was studying my diploma, we were both working and I had this extra work to do. And it's the way that one worked was I had like time frames and deadlines and I have to have this course finished by a certain date. So it put pressure on me. So you stepped up and you did considerable amount more at home.
Yeah.
But you've never subsequently said, you know, things have ironed out since and I've obviously taken more of those responsibilities back on, but you never turned around down the line and said, you owe me. I did all this all that time.
No, I did say at one point, remember how you finished that course 6 months ago and you kind of haven't started doing any of the chores? Back into the group and you were like, yeah, I forgot what I did. And I was like, right, well, let's sit down and talk about that. But
what you didn't do was turn around and say, you did that course. So now I'm going to take time off and you're going to do everything around that. No, and I think that's what a lot of couples should do. So this 50-50
potentially, but the way I looked at, well, this is really important. Sorry, I know I'm interrupting you. But I also looked at it from you're doing something, you're doing a course that's going to better your career, which is going to benefit both of us.
Yeah, but this idea that it has to be 50-50 is just bullshit, because there are people in your situation who would have turned around and said, I'll do this for you now, but you're gonna take me away when we're done. Or
can you?
No. Or or you're gonna take care of the house for a period of time, so I don't have to do. And it's like, you're keeping a mental note of all the things you've done beyond what you have to, that you're then going to cash in later on.
Yeah.
And that's just, you can do that, but I don't know what kind of relationship you expect to be building, and I don't know how healthy you expect it to be.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether it's money, chores, emotional stuff. You have to look at this as, we are a team, and everything we are doing should be to better our lives together, to secure a better future for us, whatever, or just to make each other happy. Like,
yeah, if you imagine like a sports team, like you'd send your plan like that. If you imagine a sports team, if there's a game where one player, he picks up the slack in one game, he doesn't turn up on the field the next day and say, right guys, I'm doing less today, you owe me for picking up the slack yesterday. And if you view it the same way in your relationship, there are times when you're going to have to put in a little bit more effort, like that sports player does. For whatever reason, there are going to be any number of reasons, illness, lack of effort, other responsibilities, other pressures.
Depression.
But there will be times, you know, hopefully you're going to be together for a long time. And the reality of it is in that moment, you're going to be doing more than your quote unquote fair share. But there will be times in that long relationship where you take your foot off the gas and they do more than their fair share. And it may be that they actually do more of it than you do. That's just the way it goes.
It's up and down all throughout life.
But you can't be feeling hard done by a relationship, because you're not in that relationship, hopefully not in that relationship for tit for tat, and to say, well, I've done these five things, you've got to do these five things. You're in that relationship to build something together and to enhance each other's quality of life and to come together. So it's not about 50-50, it's about, what am I good at, what are you good at, what do we not like doing, and who's prepared to do. So that these are all things that just get in the way. You know, these are like the obstacles. Who does the dishes and who cooks the meals and who cleans the floors? That's not the main focus of a marriage or relationship. Those are just the bits that kind of have to be done. But you need to look beyond that to making this lovely life together. So if you're getting bogged down in all those little details, you're missing the bigger picture.
And I think there's a lot of entitlement that can cause problems in relationships. And again, I don't know if that's a generational thing, but people do feel really entitled to being treated a certain way or whatever. It doesn't really pan out. And one of the things I've mentioned in probably a lot earlier episodes is, you know, when you have a household together with someone, suddenly it's these two lives and two ways of doing things. You've got to figure out how to make it work kind of in one way, which can be a big challenge. And I think if you are feeling that way, this is kind of financial or kind of household stuff, if you do feel like, God, you know what, I really feel like this is uneven and I'm doing a lot more and there's not really a reason for it, if, say, your partner is doing a degree on top of working or working two jobs or one of them's got the kids all, you know, think of, if there's a legitimate reason for why you're picking up the slack, then suck it up for a while, see how it goes. But if you just feel like stuff is being dumped on you and you see the other person not doing things that they could easily be doing, absolutely have a conversation about it.
If you've married a bum and they're just, yeah, I mean,
not even that. Like, we all forget things. We have to talk about it regularly.
Yeah.
You know, there's times when I say to you, like, look, I need you to just pick up shoes better. Or you say to me,
yeah,
look,
I suppose we should clarify. We're not saying do everything and suck it up. This is just saying don't be keeping score of it. If your partner does nothing or very little and they've got, and it's just laziness,
mm-hmm.
that's a very, very different scenario. But even then, you don't want to be sitting there saying, these are all the things I've done. You want to sit there and say, you know, this not this phrasing, yeah. but you need to have the conversation of, they're not putting their weight, they're not putting the effort in. How do we overcome that?
I don't even want to phrase it like that. I mean, that
I
is...
just said, not phrase it like that, but that's the conversation to have, is that you need to encourage them to realise this disparity and to start making the effort. But you don't come to that conversation and say, I've done A, B and C and you've done nothing and keeping score. You need to somehow find a way to have that conversation of this. There's no parity here.
It's so easy to slip into it though. Like just yesterday, we were getting ready to go out. We were in the hallway and I have left the steam cleaner in the hallway for like a week, which I need to sort out. But also your shoes just seem to be breeding.
Yeah.
And like in the, near the front door of a place where we leave, you know, a couple pairs of shoes and they're just breeding. And I said, look, you know, would you mind sorting this out tomorrow? You know, your shoes have kind of taken over. And then you start
You said, this is all your stuff.
Oh yeah. You
Which
also
makes it very easy for me just to start pointing at things that aren't mine and say, well, that's yours. That's
yeah. But you start pointing at the coat.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
Well, no, because you're pointing at the coat rack where we both have coats and that's where they go. I'm just saying it's easy. You know, I just said to you, I asked you, look, I was exaggerating, like everything you own is on this cupboard here and you've got all these
shoes. I'm very literal, so if someone exaggerates I'm like, oh no, that's not true.
Well, just don't you just look so much like your dad just then.
But you know, but
it's easy, so then you start saying like, well, you've left that there. It's like, yes, I know I have, that is where the coats go because it's a coat rack. Yes, I need to put the steamer away, but it's also difficult to get around your shoes. Like, it happens, you know, you're gonna get a bit annoyed when someone's like, you need to do this, so you know, whatever. But I think what we haven't got onto is the emotional keeping score or like dates and things like that. And again, that kind of ties into money too. But, you know, I think things like doing thoughtful things or, you know, making dinner, which again can be kind of like a household thing, but it can be a date sort of thing. This can be really, really hard because oftentimes in a relationship, one person is more thoughtful and aware of doing these kind of things. It can be the woman, it can be the man, but if it's two women, two men, whatever. One person is usually a little bit more thoughtful and aware of, hey, you know what? I want to treat this person to, you know, a nice fancy home-cooked meal or a date night or a little thoughtful gift, you know. And sometimes it can feel like you're the only one doing that. And that's kind of a tricky area because I think you can start to feel, if you're doing it for the right reasons, like you just want to make this person happy, maybe you won't ever feel that way. But sometimes you can start to feel a bit unappreciated and start to kind of mentally keep score. God, you know, I've done like 3 surprise dinners in the past few months, taken him or her out for, you know, theater, movies, whatever. And I just don't feel like they're thinking of me like that. So there's 2 different mentalities. I'm like, you know what, I'm not being spoiled or treated at all, which isn't fair. And I've done this, this, and this, and they're not doing anything for me. Like, the score is out of whack. But I don't really know the answers to those. I know it can be an issue.
I think it's just something you have to work on. And, you know, as unglamorous as it sounds, there's no problem having, like, relationship meetings. And I say no problem, like, we encourage it. Check in.
Talk.
So if this is new, if this is something, say you listen to this podcast and you say, yeah, you know, this is something we both could work on. Have the conversation to get the ball rolling. So you say, right, I'll do A, B, and C, and you'll do D, E, and F. Then in a month, talk, say, how's this month been? Yeah, actually, yeah, you've been pretty good at that. Or I'm not enjoying my side of things. Or, you know, but just check it. They just think it's a set and forget. And
yeah. And I want to highlight that this kind of tit for tat thing is something that we've struggled with in our relationship.
Mm.
And I think probably only in the last year or two have we been a lot better. And I know that one thing that can be really difficult, kind of talking about raising those conversations, like you just mentioned. I know for me, if Rich takes the opportunity to say, hey, you know, I'd really like you to work on this. It would mean a lot to me, whatever. I then see that as, okay, this is a forum where we're talking about, this isn't something I've been getting from you or something I need you to do. Then I feel like, oh, okay, well, then I can voice this because this has been on my mind as well. And for a long time, we would be like, why do you have to bring that up? Like, I'm just asking you, like, this isn't tit for tat. But I think we've both gotten better at recognizing, okay, this, I'm taking that on board. I'm not brushing over that. I will work on that. By the way, that reminds me, I've been thinking about this. And this was a classic example, something that we were in the car the other day. I don't remember where we were coming or going from. You mentioned something to me that had happened in the bedroom that you liked. And you said, you know, I'd really like you to do more of that. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. And then I said, hey, by the way, this reminds me, I would like this, something that was outside of the bedroom from you. And it was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's fine. Great. Let's both work on that. So I think don't keep score, but communicate your needs and communicate why you have those needs. Yeah, because
the difference of that is that's communication. Keeping score would be, right, I've agreed to do that thing in the bedroom, so now I want this from you in return. Like,
yeah.
And it's almost like this mindset of this fear that we're missing out or that we're losing out or we're not getting everything we could get.
It's that entitlement, like I mentioned.
But it is entitlement. I think maybe it goes beyond that where it's just fear of
missing out. FOMO.
Yeah, but it's like if someone owes you £10, they only give you £9. You're like, you owe me £10. It's that. It's if I do that for you, then I'm leaving a favour on the table that could be collecting. And that, I think, is like an insidious, poisonous mindset of, and there's no place for in a relationship. And yes, you need to make sure you're not. But you need to make sure you're not being taken advantage of. Like, let's just get that out of the way. That, yeah, you don't want to be giving everything and getting nothing. But within the sort of minutiae of that, you're allowed to, if you go out, you're allowed to buy dinner and then not say, you owe me a meal. Or you owe me a sexual favour. Or you owe me, or you bring it up the next week and say, well, I want to do this. I bought you dinner last week. Don't forget that. Because suddenly then every gesture you do, if you do this enough, every gesture you do very quickly become a source of distrust. Like, your partner's thinking, well, okay, what are you going to want?
It's being
and measured. They're not going to want to receive it anymore because it's not worth me taking this because you're going to spring on me that I owe you.
Yeah.
You either do it because you want to, you know, and that's it, or you don't do it.
Yeah. I do think, though, that there is some sort of natural, not law, but maybe balance, that you should both be doing nice things for each other. And it's never a paying back or keeping score. But I know that if Rich does something really sweet for me or really thoughtful or whatever, it makes me appreciate him and then makes me want to then show my appreciation to him in some way. Maybe he takes me out for a meal and maybe my appreciation is just buying him a Twix or something. I mean, I just think that you should always be doing little lovely things for each other.
Good activities.
Gestures?
Yeah, like, it kind of begets more.
Yeah.
From you, you know. So, yeah, I think generally, if you're thinking, it's a funny mindset shift. You know, if you're thinking, well, as long as you're operating in this mindset of I'm owed, you never feel like you've got enough. But if you start doing it because you just want to, you know, the irony is that they'll probably start giving you more anyway because you're creating this really nice, positive, giving environment and people generally respond well to it. They say, oh, you know what? That was really nice. I'm going to do this for you. But if you say, I've done that and you owe me, it takes all of that away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, no, fuck you. And it becomes spite. And it's, I'm not doing that now.
Yeah, and even just you doing things with your language, just your words is great, you know, like, but just before we were coming in here to record, I was like, hey, and you're like, what? It's like, I really appreciate you. And I'll just because I was thinking, you know, we've had a really nice weekend. We were at a friend's wedding the other day. Like, I just think express as much, like you said, foster that positive, reinforcing, good feeling environment. Oh, it's really good psychology talk. Can't talk at all. You foster that. And I think then you'll feel less kind of required to keep score or feel like you're not giving enough. But then there are genuinely just relationships where one or both people just don't give enough. Like, they just don't. You know, like, I've had friends. I know people that are very, very tit for tat, you know, and I just think, oh, there's just not room for that. Or you're just incompatible, maybe. But I think you said a minute ago, there's just no room for that kind of behavior in a relationship. And I don't think as people, there's really room for that behavior. Obviously, if you're being ripped off for something, totally speak up, you know. But like, we had a family thing, and I won't say which side it was, a while back, and someone owed me a little bit of money because I had paid for something we were all doing together, and they never finished paying me back. It wasn't a huge amount, but, you know, I needed it. And I kind of approached them and just reminded, hey, you know, you were going to pay this back. You said something was wrong with, like, your online banking. Like, could you figure that out? And they said, oh, yeah, can't figure it out. We weren't going to worry about it, though, because Rich still owed us a little bit from back then. And it really annoyed me because I was like, well, that's nothing to do with me. I paid for this. Rich paid for that or didn't pay for that or whatever. And now I'm just because they were being so.
Well, and the expert, you didn't know.
I didn't know about that.
That was in the bank.
Well, it would have been like from 6 months prior.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, well, okay, but that's nothing to do with me. That was between you and him. This is between you and me. And that was something that, you know, I wasn't. I had paid for an event for us all to go to because it was a treat for Rich and, you know, other people were joining us, and it just really put me off. It's like, maybe I was being tit for tat. I suppose that's a way of looking at it because I was asking for what I was owed, but I feel like they were.
Well, it's all about the expectation. So, yeah. You know, generally if you say sort that and I'll give you this, then you're owed the thing that you were promised to get. But I think around the house, maybe what's interesting, you know, you mentioned older generations, is obviously gender roles have sort of shifted a lot in recent years. Yeah. So I think, you know, years and years back, it would be, okay, yeah, we know the man does. You probably wouldn't see many women out fixing the car.
Mm-hmm.
Women were more likely homemakers and all that kind of thing. And good, bad, or indifferent, you know, whatever, the fact is things have changed a lot since then. So now, I think the point I'm making is, it used to kind of be more expected. You didn't really need to talk about it as much because it's, I'm the man, I'm going to do this, and you're the one, you're going to do that. And everyone kind of knew, they might not enjoy it, but they kind of knew what was expected of them. Now, where people can more or less do anything they want, you do kind of need to have the conversation of who's going to do this, that, and the other.
It's not just that people do what they want. It's now that women aren't stuck in the home all day. Women are out working.
Yeah, women are out working, but beyond that, it's, you're probably not going to be batting much of an eyelid if the woman is fixing the car or whatever. Because, you know, you're not going to get the conversations around the neighbourhood of, oh, can you believe that he's doing the woman's job and she's doing the man's job? You don't really have that now. And you're going to have many women who say, I'm not cleaning, you can do the cleaning. And there are many who say, I'm going to cook, I'm going to do that. So it's just, but it's basically, it's more necessary now to have that conversation and say, this is what I'll do and not do, and this is what, and you might find those compromises. Like for us, I don't think we've ever had the conversation where we say, I'm in charge of the finances. It's just sort of come that way, that you don't worry about, not, but you obviously know about your bills and stuff, but you don't worry about renewing the home insurance or things like that. That's sort of my remit, and that's something we kind of just fell into.
But it's also something you're better at than I am.
Yeah. Which is why it's happened that way. If I was really bad at it and you were better at it and I was still doing it, that would be a bad thing.
Well, that wouldn't happen in our relationship.
No. Yeah, so play to your strengths. And but it's not a sign of weakness to have the conversation. And you're never going to get anywhere while you're keeping score, playing tit for tat and having that fearful mindset of I'm owed and I'm not getting. And you know, if that's something you do carry around quite a lot, then you know, maybe there's an issue with, do you need to go and see someone for help to uncover why if you've always been hard done by in life, and you start to wonder, you know, if everyone's always doing me wrong, then that's a burden on your partner that's, depending on the extent of it, maybe not fair for them to try and coach you through. But if it's just generally maybe the examples you've seen from other people's relationships, and I think this where friends can be really problematic, because they always, your friends are likely to take your side, and friends bitch about their relationships, and you can very quickly start to think, oh, all relationships are like this, but they don't have to be. You know, they really don't have to be. So don't think that you're going to be able to do that and build something fun and good, because you're always going to be thinking, it must be so mentally taxing to be thinking, right, you've got to do this for me now.
Yeah, and I think it's not a competition.
Yeah.
You know, like we said before, you are a team. It'd be like, again, kind of going back to the sports analogy, being on a team and thinking, you know, it's all down to me and I'm the one that needs to shine and, like, I'm doing the best and I'm pulling the weight. It's like, no, even if you were out there, you could be the best star player on the field. If you were against another team on your own without your team, you would lose. Like, it is a team effort. You know, you're a pair, you're a partnership, and you have to work together. There's just no place for that kind of mindset in a relationship. And yeah, if you want to go the long haul, like, you need to find a way. And again, it's not, don't bring this up. We're not saying that you should just turn a blind eye to everything and not keep score because it sounds mean. It's finding balance. That's what the key is. You have to both be pitching in. You both have to be putting in 100% at different times, you know, and or putting in everything you can. And like Rich said, that might be due to illness or whatever. You can't put in your 100%, but you will at another point when you can and when the tables turn a bit. But yeah, it's just about finding balance, really, and what works for you as a couple. But it needs to work for both of you.
Yeah, yeah, and it definitely does.
It comes down to, like I said, it's not a competition. It's not, I did this for you, so you do this for me. You just have to get out of that mindset. Otherwise, relationships in general for you aren't going to be happy things that are going to work and just be sustainable.
Mm-hmm. End it there?
I think so.
All right.
Thank you guys for joining us for another week. We'll see you next week.